Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, so where are you? Do you like March Madness? And if you do you want it to be bigger or not? One conference does. We'll touch on that a little bit. We'll kind of look at those projections for D1 baseball. J.R. Gravy and I will touch on that here a little bit. Also, quarterback confidence index. ESPN came out with a quarterback confidence index. You might be surprised where they list the Saints. You might be surprised with the list of Saints. We'll touch on that. Jay Hardgrave's got a little something that's funny as well.
They rank the triplets.
Rank the triplets. What is he referring to? Well, we'll get into all of that and more. We come back after the soothing sounds of Rebecca Black.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's Friday.
I'm sorry, you said the what sounds?
Soothing sounds of Rebecca Black.
I'm sorry, did you say the cat screeching sounds of Rebecca Black?
Rebecca Black.
This is soothing.
Absolutely. It relaxes me. It lets me know that I am here on the weekends. I'm ready to go. I made it through my work week. I know coming up we'll have a little afternoon.
I hear the song, I can throw a chair through a window.
Nah, see, I'm relaxed. This relaxes me. It's because I know that means it's Friday.
You're a strange man.
800-998-1003. Is the way to chime in the conversation as well. Tulane and UCF underway in game one of a doubleheader in the top of the 11th inning. 6-6 is that score. LSU game two tonight against Auburn. We spoke with Brian Johnson just a few minutes ago. Game two for the Colonels, 6 o'clock. You can catch it right here on ESPN New Orleans. Eastern Conference Finals game two. Western Conference Finals game three. And Western Conference Finals game three, Saturday, Sunday. Dino Hanser will join us at 2:30 to touch a little bit about that. Marlon Favorite, what's it like now? OTAs next week. He's going to join us at 2:05. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Let's touch on a couple of handful of stories here and get your opinions if you want to. We did with Scott Kushner at 12:15 about DeMarcus Cousins. The story on the undefeated, we've retweeted it on our page. And also, I believe, Jordan, you put it on Facebook if you want to put the undefeated story with DeMarcus Cousins. He touches on the fact that, hey, the Instagram unfollow, he was following a fan page. He saw a headline that said, hey, you know, is the team better without it? He didn't want to read any of that stuff, so he unfollowed anything that had to do with it, so he doesn't do that. We bring in Brian Enola East, who joins us on Tuesdays as well. Brian just enjoyed a healthy dish.
Yeah. Little Caesar salad.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It looks so good with the chicken and the shrimp.
Caesar salad is good.
I'm going with
it. I eat it quite often.
Yeah, you know, because I'm
trying to slim down.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it slim down. I'm just, you know.
Putting on your bikini body?
No, I like to call it chiseling.
Chiseling.
Chiseling. See, if you say slim down or drop weight, that means I'm fat.
Oh, but if you're
chiseling, I'm just working on, I'm perfecting.
Oh, you're toning it up.
Well, no, because toning means I'm not toned. I mean,
But you are
clearly you can see I work out. So I mean, I'm chiseling. I'm just perfecting.
You're rationalizing again.
Probably you're right, Brian. It's interesting. You read the Marcus Spears, you know, the Mark Spears story, and I guess my three things I took away with it from the Marcus saying, "Look, I got to do what's best for me. I'd love to be back." Things of that nature. The Instagram thing. I just didn't want to hear it. It's what Scott Kushner said in hour number one. He's sensitive about it. I mean, if we worried every day about what people feel or tweet at us, dude, we wouldn't sleep at night, you know, when you look at it like that. I don't know why a guy that's going to make either $130, $140, $150, $170 million is worried about people feeling if they're good enough or not, because it's crazy if he doesn't feel he's worth being on the team or not. It's about business. It's about years. So I did take that. He explained why he followed other players. But he also made it seem like, hey, he said, not made it seem, he believes that he will be ready for the start of training camp, which is September. What did you take out of reading the Mark Spears piece?
A couple of things. One that was very interesting is how many times Boogie decided he was going to say that he hadn't talked to XYZ person or, you know, somebody in the organization, whether that be AD, Rondo, Dell Demps, Alvin Gentry.
Which, by the way, none, according to him, other than AD one text, which had to do about the Instagram thing.
Correct.
That's it. I don't.
Yeah.
There's no way that they're not texting or having communications. No way.
Playing devil's advocate. If that's true, then that says a lot because Dell Demps has, over his course of his career, made no bones about who he wants to have in and who he wants to have out. He said at the end of the press conference from his, you know, season finale press conference, we want Rondo back. And then when he spoke about Boogie, he was like, well, we'll see. So I kind of find that to be a little bit interesting in a dialogue that took place in the way he kind of approached it. And then, of course, not speaking to AD, well, that one I find a little bit, you know, I find that harder to believe considering that you're not going to tell me you don't speak to AD.
Look, I think in these things, public opinion means everything. People can downplay shows like this and say, oh, it doesn't make a difference in negotiations. I think it does. Because go back to when Drew Brees a couple of years ago was asking for over $25 million, and people started saying, when we were in the middle of 7-9 campaigns, people started saying, look, if he wants over that, you know, Drew Brees, we love him. It's time for him to go, but we're not willing to give that. All of a sudden, Drew Brees accepted a lot less than what he was talking about. And it was because the public opinion was, hey, that's way too much. I think DeMarcus Cousins kind of posturing, trying to get the fans on his side.
I don't know, and I'll let you go here in a sec, Brian, if public opinion swayed it as much as really what the team was going to be there and where it's going to go. Look, at the end of the day, and I understand this is why I said earlier, and Brian, you kind of agree with me here, this is going to be an interesting negotiation because I think, honestly, if you take emotion out of it, if you're a Pels fan, you can completely understand both sides.
Yeah.
You can completely understand both sides. If you're DeMarcus Cousins, because of what happened to you last year, you need to get as much money as you can. I mean, Scott was throwing out the numbers. He doesn't know specifically, but he's like, another team can go 4 years, 130, 140. The Pels can go max 5 years, 170. All it takes is one team to offer the max. If the Pels are going, hey, I'm comfy giving you a 3 year deal, maybe it's a 3 year, 2 year guaranteed 30 year player option. And if another team kind of you have to negotiate, maybe you bump it to three guaranteed. Fourth year is your player option to kind of match with. But if another team says, I can give you 4 year max, now you're kind of pushing it to where you maybe want to go. So I think this wiggle room, but I think he has to understand that for the most part, if he pulls people, more often than not, you're not going to get 5 years.
I don't think anybody's going to give Boogie 5 years. And I understand what he's gambling on, but, you know, it's kind of something that was pointed out.
Well, the only team apparently can do that is the Pels.
Yeah, they
no
can,
other
they're only going to
give him
five. Yeah, that's the only one that gives
so
five. But even with the 4 year deal.
Four.
Yeah, even with the 4 year deal, I don't see how many teams are going to be willing to take that gamble because, first of all, we're talking about Boogie Cousins, who's, you know, prior to the Pelicans has a reputation as a bit of a coach killer. Now you're coming off an Achilles. And we have to find out if you're even going to be 80% of what you were before that. And it has to be a team that fits because you can't play Golden State run and gun type of basketball with Boogie Cousins. We've already saw that. So I don't really know as far as, and not to mention that, one other thing. But the teams that can actually offer him the money, they aren't any good.
I was going to say cap space. And he says in the interview, what's the quote? You had it highlighted. What's the quote, Jordan? Pull it up. Basically, it was something that a team needs to be a contender and where he can feel appreciated. To it, more importantly, is what he needs to have it. And when you start looking at that list, Jay, it's, you know, here it is. He says, somewhere I'd be where is his free agent, the best free agency destination for you? Quote, somewhere I'd be appreciated and a contender, a team that's ready to contend. Well, a team that's ready to contend is, by probably definition, Brian, and geez.
Jay,
is going to probably be close to the cap or have a lot of money tied into players because you're going to need two, three, four players already on that roster. So let's narrow it down. I'm trying to think. Give me some teams that are close to being contending, have cap space. Yeah, exactly. Georgia said the East. You know, a lot of teams right there in the East that maybe, but are you really? Because let me tell you what. Boston gets Kyrie and Gordon Hayward back. You think they're going to be worse? What is your definition of contending? Is contending going deep into the postseason? Is contending winning a championship?
Here's the thing. It's not only a contender, but it's a contender who doesn't have a center. Because if you're talking about Philadelphia, you're going to bring him in with Joel Embiid. You know, you're looking at a team maybe like New York. How close is New York? They've got Porzingis. He's coming off of an injury. Do they want to take two gambles? They don't have to sign Porzingis. He's already under contract. But you're going to have two guys that you're building your team around, both coming off of injuries? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think the Pelicans, the way they're handling this, the way Scott Kushner said, they're going to force him to go out. Brian brought up the point, and it is exactly right. If you're the Denver Nuggets or you're somebody out there, what are you basing your decision on? You're just going to roll a dice and say, hey, let's give him the max that can give him in order to get him?
You're going to have to gamble. You're going to have to play the house. Does that make sense, Brian? You're going to have to play because DeMarcus said it. He's not rushing, and he's going to listen to offers. So he's going to play free agency. And I think for a guy that obviously is this sensitive, he's going to want to be wine and dine. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
He's going to want to go through the process. He says he's never done it, and I can understand it. He's going to be brought in. Kevin Durant, for crying out loud, did it. And you knew Kevin Durant wanted to go to Golden State. But Kevin Durant sat down with teams and got taken to dinner and had people take him to the Hamptons, hence the Hampton Five. SportsRack.com, Brian. You pull it up, there's only five teams in the NBA that are actually, this is crazy when you think about it, well, not five teams, but the top five that really have positive money. A lot of the other teams have negative money. Six if you include Dallas. Number one is the Atlanta Hawks. $29 million. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Contender or no contender?
They're not a contender.
Sacramento, two, with $24 million. Contender or no contender?
Not a contender.
Ain't going back there.
Indiana, $8 million in cap space.
I would think that they're a contender, but there's going to have to be some changes
max,
made.
Let's say 4 years, five is what?
Four years, what's it, 140?
Yeah, let's just say 4 years, 140. What is that annually? 28?
Yeah.
About 28
about 20,
mil, something like that?
No, it's more than that. It's over 30. 4 years, 140?
Yeah.
No, it's about, probably about 28. It's got to be close.
It's 35. Yeah, 30. 35. Right. 35. Okay. So Indiana's going to have to make a ton of moves.
Yeah, they're going to have to do sign and trade if they want Boogie.
The Chicago Bulls, $41
million. Not a contender.
In cap space. Are they a contender?
No.
The Phoenix Suns, $13 million cap space, number one pick.
Not a contender.
Okay. The Knicks are $517,000 under cap space. You can make some moves there. I mean, whatever. Milwaukee, minus $2 million in the hole. Golden State, minus $2 million. That's not happening. The Dallas Mavericks, $23 million under cap space. This is a team I've heard a lot of people kind of throw out there that they can offer from the max. They can maybe go, there's some pieces on there you can get rid of to kind of get to that money in there. I could see them maybe doing that. And if you're Mark Cuban, he's already talked about it. Show me the money. He has a really nice arena with some really expensive seats to try to sell. If he brings in Boogie Cousins, are they a contender? No, but they're a playoff team. They can maybe probably be a playoff team, and he can be the guy, the story, the headline over there as Dirk is being ushered into the sunset.
Brian, you may disagree with me on this one, but Rajon Rondo played for Rick Carlisle, and that was a complete disaster.
Okay.
They're good friends.
So,
do you think DeMarcus Cousins and Carlisle could coexist?
No, not at all.
I don't either.
Not at all.
Okay.
And again, we're talking about a hard-nosed coach like Rick Carlisle, who I believe is a top five coach in the NBA.
I agree.
He's not going to put up with any type of lip from Boogie Cousins. Not at all, because he doesn't have to. His spot in Mark Cuban's organization is solidified. So he's not like a Mike Malone maybe in Sacramento to where Boogie can get him fired. That's not going to happen. Rick Carlisle's the guy there.
So I'm just going through teams that have positive right now money, right? I mean, we're not talking about like the Saints where you're in a negative.
Running out of options.
Exactly. The Orlando Magic, $15 million. The Nets, $16 million in cap space. Neither contenders, right? I mean, I don't even have to ask him.
No.
$30 million under cap space. Yo. Philadelphia 76ers.
Joel Embiid has already said he doesn't want LeBron.
Sorry.
Joel Embiid? Yeah, exactly. Doesn't even want LeBron on his squad. Where's he going to play?
Okay. Next team with positive money. The Spurs with $671,000. Obviously, that's a Kawhi Leonard situation. Now, the sign and trade sort of situation. But can Pops and – is it better or not? You already had LaMarcus Aldridge there. You know, do they go with the dual bigs? They did it before with the Twin Towers with Duncan. But is Aldridge and Boogie where you want to build? Because it really looks like Kawhi is gone there. So they're probably going to – they have to trade him because
he
has 2 years left.
The question now becomes who's going to pick up Kawhi Leonard? Because if you think about it, and I thought about this a long time ago, a starting lineup with even if you were to use Okafor, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Drew Holiday, and Rajon Rondo – that's pretty serious because Kawhi Leonard gives you what you need, that guy who can go out there and guard Kevin Durant.
Here's what I would love. In a perfect world, I'd love to even sit here and pretend that Kawhi Leonard is coming to the Pelicans. But I'm smart enough to understand that if Greg Popovich is going to trade him, you're not going to trade him down a block to New Orleans. That's just not going to happen. Now, could it be a three-team trade possibly? But whoever gets Kawhi Leonard is not going to say, well, okay, well, now we'll give him to New Orleans. No, that's not going to happen that way. In Boogie's case, I don't even think LaMarcus Aldridge would be fine with the idea of Boogie being there. He seems to be the type of guy that he's better when he's the guy. He doesn't want another superstar with him. He was great in Portland until Damian Lillard showed up. Then he was great in San Antonio once Kawhi Leonard went down. I don't think he wants another guy with him.
Let me ask you this. If you think, I'm not even sure DeMarcus Cousins for Kawhi Leonard trade, even if San Antonio's interested in him, mm-hmm. I don't think that would go down. I don't think it would be enough. I think you're going to, because he's coming off of an injury,
yeah.
Do you think Etuan Moore and DeMarcus Cousins for Kawhi Leonard, do you think that's workable?
I think money-wise it would work, but again, we're talking about Greg Popovich giving up who many consider to be, you know, after LeBron, maybe even Kevin Durant, the best player in the NBA, definitely the best two-way player in the NBA. I don't think you give him to the Pelicans no matter what.
I think
in order for that to happen, the Pelicans would have to tell the Spurs, well, not to mention that, we're going to give you not only next year's first round, we'll give you, you know, two. I don't think you can give up first-round picks in consecutive drafts. So it'd have to be like maybe three or four first-round picks
in alternating years.
Right. And on top of that, what are you going to do once Kawhi Leonard comes back to haunt you four times a year?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, again, 800-998-1003. If you have anything you want to say, feel free to give us a buzz. We'll put you right on and get your opinions on this. Now, the Lakers have $61 million in cap space as well. The other only team is the Rockets at $21 million. If the Rockets are going to get anybody, they want LeBron. The Lakers been rumored a destination for Paul George. And what do they want to do? Now, I could see them maybe adding Boogie to do that. That makes sense. To me, it's Dallas and the Lakers, the two teams of all the teams we just went with that make the most sense. But neither guys are contenders. So, look, he's going to have to make a concession or he's going to take the money and the concession is going to be not competing for a championship. I mean, that's the options laid out in front of him. Am I missing something?
No, the Lakers are a team I never thought about until you mentioned it. I think that is doable. If they get turned down by LeBron and Paul George, they might turn their attention to DeMarcus Cousins. I fully believe, Gus, that DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo have lived Sacramento far too long, and they really want to come back here. And I almost think DeMarcus Cousins is going to be willing to take a little bit less to play here.
All right, we'll take the quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion here. Plus, we'll touch on how the ACC has a proposition to the NCAA for the big dance. We'll touch on that. Also, the quarterback confidence index, that's something that's very interesting. And rating the triplets in the NFL. Who's got the best set of triplets in the NFL? That's receiver, running back, and quarterback.
Correct.
Jay Hargrave will have that for you when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover, live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on ESPN New Orleans.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say.
J.R. Grave, Gus Cattingell back with you, Brian and Ole East as well. Hour two of the Sports Hangover, live at Deuce McAllister's Old State Kitchen and Tap. Brian went healthy today, went with the chicken Caesar salad, little shrimpies added to it. I'm doing it as well. I'm going to go that direction as well.
I love the chicken Caesar. It's one of my favorites,
nice.
But the burger's always one of the all-time favorites.
Saw Port Orleans celebrate their anniversary. And you got a little Port Orleans among one of the five drafts that you have.
We have 53 drafts, can't count root beer. We have 54 taps, can't count root beer as a draft. 53 usually craft beers, but we have Dixie on tap.
Nice.
For the Bensons. And so that leaves us 52 craft beers. And we have three to Port of Orleans, and I'm working on getting the Sean Payton beer that Zach was telling us about.
Yep. I think it's the blonde. It's a blonde ale.
Yes. I'll see him at the golf tournament Monday, though. Saints Hall of Fame golf tournament.
Yep. Easy enough, we'll have some fun with that as well. We're just, talking about a couple of number of topics as well with the Boogie Cousins thing. It's a question that I know Jordan Ole East. Wow. Jordan the intern.
Brian, you got a roommate?
Obviously.
My mind. You see what I mean? I need the weekend. Man, I'm just done.
Yeah, that's what Rebecca Black does to you.
Yeah, apparently so. What are the moves that you need to see from this team, obviously, and to make them contenders? And Boogie is a huge part of that. We're talking about the story. Mark Spears, undefeated. a sub site from ESPN. I had an interview with him yesterday. So that's where we've been talking about the Instagram gate. He's like, look, I just didn't want to read a story about on a Pels fan site, whether or not they're better without me. It's not being that sensitive, but it is what it is. So it wasn't in an ugly way. We just went through the teams that actually have cap space. And to me, it's Dallas and the Lakers. He said in the story yesterday, guys, that he wants to go somewhere where he's appreciated and can be a contender. The list is small, if any. So I think at the end of the day, he's going to have to concede something. Something. If it's all about the money, he wants as much as he can get, he's going to concede the chance to win now. Maybe later. You know, if that's the promise, hey, we're going to bring in other guys to build around you, maybe that works. But that's where it is right now. Some of the other stories that I want to get into to get your opinions. The ACC is proposing to expand the NCAA tournament by 4 teams to 72. Good idea, bad idea. Brian already has his hand in his forehead. Jay, bad idea, good idea.
Participation trophies for everyone. Yeah, you know, where are we going to stop with this thing? I mean, I understand what they're trying to do is that if 2 16 seeds have to play, then all 16 seeds should play an extra game. It's kind of an unfair advantage for the 3 16 or the 4 16 seeds that don't have to play, the 2 16 seeds that don't have to play, and some have to play an extra game. But it doesn't matter how many teams you put in.
Right.
You could put 200 teams in, and 201 is going to complain about not getting in,
well,
and 202 is going to complain about
I'm
not getting in.
I'm just telling you what the AD for Miami is saying. He's like, look, it's just about unreasonable travel for West Coast teams to get to Dayton, Ohio, the first four that go in. You know, if you're from the West Coast, you got to go to Ohio, then you got to go back out to the West Coast to go play 2 days later. I'll say this. At first, when the first four started, I was like, come on, really? And they were a bad game. The last couple of years have been pretty good games.
Yeah.
Yep. UNO was a beneficiary of a first four game, you know, and getting a chance to get in. Now, your reward is facing a number one seed, you know, the play-in game for the 2 16s. So I can understand this. What they're saying is you have two regional sort of first fours, one on the West Coast and then one in Dayton to sort of help that. The obvious response from a lot of people is this is about money. It's about getting four more games, and adds to the TV deal. They can do that, and if we're going that way, boom, time to pay the college basketball players.
I'm sick of hearing about teams needing to be in the NCAA tournament. First of all, where's the ACC? Where are they usually located? That'd be East Coast, right?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, so I'm sure he's concerned about this West Coast team
West Coast team
to travel.
Hey, yeah, poor West Coast team, man.
I'm so sure. So, of course, it's a money grab. Secondly, if you're going to put 72 in, hell, why not 86? I mean, like Jay said, at what point does it stop? Put everybody in and just let everybody play for the trophy.
Yeah,
why don't
but,
we? No,
but,
stop.
But here's the thing. You know what it is? It's about making it even, guys. It's about making it even and making it even. As they're saying here, is there's always room for bubble teams to get in. The Miami coach says 68 of 351 Division I teams make the field. That's only 19%, and we in the academic community, I'm adding this. But if you add 72 teams, it's an even 20%. So we want to make it an even 20%.
Well, what about those kids that have to travel because they have to miss their studies? What about that?
Huh?
You know, those
oh, yes.
student athletes, they'll be missing class,
well, that's
won't they?
Well, why we can't do it in football because
yeah, exactly.
Of school.
Yeah,
that's right.
School
you know,
reason.
You brought up the point, Gus. It's all about the money. It used to be that the tournament was selected as this was the number one seed. And this is the 64 seed.
Right.
64 played one. But we can't do that anymore because 64 and one may be an East Coast versus a West Coast team. So let's move the 64 team up to 61 because they're closer to this team. That's not what a tournament is. You're supposed to decide who's the best team,
right, well,
not who's geographically close to each other.
Let me throw something else out there. We saw it here this year. Joey, you know what I'm talking about. You did a lot of the games. The Nichols Colonels,
yep.
Their basketball team. We're seeing it right now with baseball in the Southland Conference. Some of the smaller conferences, man, it's one, right? UNO 2 years ago, Nichols tried it this year, and we saw it with Southeastern. You have to not only win your conference, you got to win your tournament. There was no shot another team was going to go. What happened? You're not going to the NCAA tournament dance. You have to win your tournament. And tell me if this is fair. Again, I'm just playing the fair game here. They win their tournament, and what do they get? They get the play-in game. They get the play-in game. So, yeah, okay, technically you get one game, which a lot of teams don't ever get a chance to really win one game. So you'll at least be with an even seed, but your reward is the number one seed. Okay, so I get it. If you maybe expand that, Buffalo coach Nate Oates says, hey, look, in the Mid-American Conference meetings, we've actually talked about this. I can guarantee you we'd be all up for this. Now, remember, his Bulls upset number four Arizona in the first round of this year's tournament. The chances of us getting multiple teams would go up. A lot of the mid-majors and smaller conferences, their number one complaint is, dude, it's one team. You got to win a lot of your regular season games. You got to win the tournament, and then you pray on Selection Sunday. This might help that. I'm with you, though. It's only four more. You're always going to have bubble teams. You're always going to do that. But, again, what about from that aspect of it? Florida State's head coach, Leonard Hamilton, says, we could have gotten in as well. So I see both sides.
Here's the problem. If you can sit down and lay out the issues as you just did, you got to win too many games, then you got to win your conference tournament, then you may or may not get, seed 61. If you know those are the problems, correct the problems that add more teams. It just doesn't make sense. If you know what the problems are, fix the problems instead of saying we'll just throw more teams in the tournament and then everything will be fine.
One of the biggest problems to me is the selection committee, because every year they change their criteria. One year it's, well, we're really counting strength of schedule, and then a team that has a great strength of schedule gets bumped out for another team whose athletic director happens to be on the committee, and then they come out and say, well, we were really looking at big wins against top 25 teams this year.
Yeah.
No. Tell us what the criteria is, tell us what the rules are, and everybody's gonna play by it, and if two teams come out of the Mid-American Conference, or three teams are looked at as the best teams, and put them in the damn tournament. And don't just because this athletic director is on there and we want to do him a favor because he's on the committee, we're going to put that team in.
Look, I'm just saying, that's what it is. So, again, something that you can think of, or you can throw that in there as well. Quick break, we come back. Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, will join us. We'll talk about some of the odds here, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals as well. And also coming up later this hour in two segments, the quarterback confidence index, I will just give it to you, right? Dan Graziano of ESPN says the team with the best quarterback, Philadelphia. Green Bay, I'm talking about like the quarterback position and its future. Green Bay, two. The Patriots, three. The Saints are four. Are you surprised by that? Seattle, five. Atlanta, six. Detroit, seven. Chargers, eight. Which, by the way, a lot of people this week are saying the Chargers are a postseason team. Vikings, nine. And number 10, the Dallas Cowboys. And Jay Hargrave is going to give us the triplets. Where are the Saints? Best triplets in the NFL? Where are they?
Two.
Number two. We'll tell you number one is here as well coming up. Mr. Vegas next, though, on the Sports Hangover. Marlon Fayright text me, Dallas.
Guess again.
There it is. We'll be back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Everybody needs a second chance. At VSI Doc Sports is the way to follow Rafael Esparza. We heard him earlier in the week, Jay Hargrave, call in, and we chatted about betting and sports books, the coming.
Go figure.
Yeah, imagine that when it happens. Mr. Vegas, what's up, man? How are you doing this afternoon?
Not much. Finally a little bit quiet down. I'm sitting here in, it's supposed to be the sunshine state of Florida, but it's pouring buckets right now. So just doing a little research for tomorrow's festivities.
Yep. Well, let's get right to the horse race. We had Bernie Halperin in earlier in the show at 12:30, discussed a little bit on the Preakness. What you like, who you like, is it justifies race to lose? What's Vegas feeling?
Yeah, it's justifies race to lose. I think everyone thinks let me backpedal that. I'm actually shocked that Good Magic is running in this race. I didn't think we were going to see some of these horses run in this race. I think they were just going to let Justify win and then beat him down in the Belmont. I still think he loses in the Belmont. I think Justify wins this race. But I think Good Magic's probably the second best horse. But don't be shy on Lone Sailor. Here's another one that I'm actually a little bit shocked at running in this race.
Huh.
I love the 15-1 odds. I like the pace that she's sitting in the number two slot. I have her hitting the board at least, wins, place, or show. And I have her in a bunch of exotics. And then I also like the one horse Equip. at 12-1. So again, two good prices with Equipped and Lone Sailor, but a little bit still shocked that Good Magic's running in this race.
I mean, that's three different people, Jay Hargrave, this week. Joe Christofek, Bernie Halperin, and now Mr. Vegas himself that have mentioned Lone Sailor has a shot. So apparently I need to find some loose change and put a little something on Lone Sailor.
I like Lone Sailor. I love the move to Ired Ortiz. That horse had a horrific trip. He was stuck on the rail for over a mile. Ired, I think, gets him an earlier start. I think there's a chance if somebody goes with Justify, he could make a move. Rafael, a horse I did want to ask you about, though, was Bravazo. Charlie Ricks is going with Bravazo. And if you throw the Louisiana Derby out, this horse is right there. He had one bad race where he finished up the track, but he was right there in the Risen Star, and he had one heck of a Kentucky Derby. You giving him any kind of chance?
I just don't see him having enough horse to pass Justify, Equipped, and Good Magic down the pace. I like him maybe. I'll probably have him in some exotics, but I just don't like the spot he's in with the eighth spot, and I just don't think he has the closing speed, especially for Justify. Would not be shocked if he's all white again because it's supposed to be raining in Baltimore.
Right. Yeah, and I guess that's the thing that stood out to me, Rafael. I think might have texted you after the Derby. He made that race look so easy. He stood out, you know. So I'm kind of with you. You say it's his race to lose.
Yeah, another horse you might want to keep an eye on is Diamond King.
Okay.
Did not run in this race. I'm not saying he's going to win this race, but again, if you're looking for an exotic, especially the Tri and Super, I definitely would add this horse and maybe hit the third spot or maybe get something in the Superfecta.
What about Bravazo?
No, I'm probably going to throw him out.
Okay, just asking for a friend. If you would maybe consider giving him a play. Let's move on to, obviously, the NBA, the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. Where were the odds before Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, the Cleveland, I think they closed around anywhere between minus 160, 170 to win
right.
the series. And I just think right now it's pretty laughable. I mean, everyone thinks that the series is done already, but what Boston did was what they did was they won home court. Now Cleveland has to do the same thing. So if Cleveland wins both of their home thing, now we have a series where it's best out of three. So I'm not throwing everything out the window that Boston's going to sweep Cleveland or whatever. Let's see what the Cavaliers and do on Saturday night. Lane 6.5 is a tough number, though. I think way too high. I like Boston plus the points.
If Boston is able, and they've struggled on the road, Rafael, if they are able to put Cleveland out pretty quick, do you think this spells the end of LeBron James in Cleveland?
You know what? If you're the Cavaliers, you thought that the end of LeBron was right after the NBA draft on their draft seeding and how bad they got for the draft seeding. I mean, they were hoping for a better, maybe top five pick so they can dangle that around and try to pick up something, but I think they might be sitting on pins and needles now, especially with the draft. And if they lose on Saturday night, I think he's going to be in a Philly or an LA jersey.
Wow.
That was going to be my next question for you, Rafael. Where do you think he ends up? I know Joel Embiid came out and said he's really not fond of the idea of bringing in LeBron. And fit-wise, I don't see how it works, but do you really think LA is the destination, or could it be a team like Houston?
You know, I would be shocked if he goes to the West Coast. I mean, why would you want to go to the West Coast and battle Golden State, battle Houston, battle maybe with the Spurs? I still think LeBron, if they could somehow get Kawhi Leonard to go to Cleveland, I think he stays. But if I had to choose right now, I'd say Cleveland's one, Philadelphia's 1B. And
wow.
I really would be shocked if he goes to the West Coast. I know he has a lot of stuff. And if he does, I think he maybe goes to the Clippers. Why would you want? I know he does not. His camp has told me personally that he does not want to play with the Ball family. He does not want that distraction of the Ball dad coming out and maybe criticizing LeBron's game if he has a bad game. I would be shocked. If he does go, I would not be shocked if it's the Clippers.
That's interesting. You wonder if maybe that's part of the stipulation, if almost like a sign-and-trade sort of thing where Cleveland gets maybe, you know, Lonzo Ball to go over there. And I'm with you. I'm going to ask you this because you can bet on anything, right? Where are the odds here that LeBron leaves? Are you taking odds on that?
Well, we have right now minus $2 for him to stay in Cleveland, and then the next place is Philly, and we got tons of action on him going to Houston, which I cannot see that happening. I just don't see the bearded one pounding the ball for over 40 seconds and then handing it off to LeBron so he can pound the ball for another 40 seconds. I just don't see him going to Houston at all, but I still think it's Cleveland and Philly.
Interesting enough, to the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals we go. After game one, it's over. Give it to the Warriors. After game two, something's wrong with Steph Curry. Uh-oh, we have a series. What am I supposed to believe here?
You're supposed to believe that it's an NBA conspiracy, and they figure this is the NBA Finals right now. I'm sorry, NBA fans, but the Houston Golden State is the Finals. Because I can tell you right now, I think more people will be excited for the NHL Stanley Cup if it's the Capitals or Vegas or Winnipeg than if it is going to be, let's say, Golden State and Boston or Golden State or Cleveland or Houston or Cleveland. I think right now would not be shocked if Houston Golden State goes seven games. I think the networks and I think the NBA fans think that's going to be the NBA Finals.
Rafael, usually if you were to bet like Golden State to win the championship or Houston to win the championship with four teams left, you'd get better odds. Are there much different in the odds of Houston Houston and Golden State to win their series and either one of those teams to win the NBA championship?
Houston, if you're looking to bet Houston to win the series and to win a championship, you're getting better odds than Golden State. We still have Golden State as, I don't want to say the big favorite to win the series, but they're still minus $3 to win the series. Because, I mean, they still went, everyone is like, oh, something's wrong with Steph Curry. What's wrong with Golden State? They were on the road. They split. You want to split when you're on the road. Now they're at home. Golden State's laying minus -7. Houston has struggles on the road. I think Golden State easily wins game three, because I just don't see Golden State providing everything that they need to do for Kevin Durant. I think you're going to see enough balance scoring. And why are we making fun of Steph Curry and how bad of a game he had? Last time I checked, Thompson was horrible in that game. I think he didn't even have double-digit figure.
That's right. Trade him. Trade him to the Pels. You'd love something like that. Brian, what you got?
Rafael, when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, many of us anticipate this being, you know, like you said, maybe a 6-7 game series with the Rockets. And then no matter who comes out of the East, we can see Golden State kind of, you know, maybe sweeping or going with the gentleman sweep to get them out of there. What happens now? Because Golden State is pretty much, you know, the gold standard. What happens to the arms race that is the NBA? Should Golden State yet again get another championship? I don't see how anybody, like maybe a Paul George who's a free agent, I don't see how he kind of goes to an LA team that has to rebuild. Do you think he kind of maybe teams up with maybe more stars versus going at it alone?
I think we're going to see more stars going to the East, especially if LeBron leaves, where that opens up another spot where maybe Boston's going to be the elite next year because they're going to be healthy. I would not be shocked if you might see not a big star, but a star go to Milwaukee and team up with the Greek Freak. Or maybe you see Kawhi Leonard go to, maybe if LeBron doesn't go to Philly, maybe Kawhi Leonard goes to Philly. I would not be shocked if Leonard picks somewhere in the East. I think, wow, if Golden State wins this and wins it easily, then I think you're going to see some more teams say, hey, you know what? Let me just get to the NBA Finals. I think the quickest way to get to the NBA Finals is coming through the East, not through the West.
Interesting enough, Mr. Vegas, Rafael Esparza, as always, joins us on Friday to talk a little odds. And something I saw earlier this week, Rafael, I want to get your take on it. BetOnline.ag, just a, you know, another site that's putting out different odds and such. Came up with college football win totals. There's Bama, 10.5. I've asked you this before. Where do you have LSU?
Well, first of all, BetOnline stole those total season wins off of myself because we were the first one to put up total season wins
right in
college football. But we have LSU 7.5, the unders minus 120. And that's just telling we had this discussion last week. That's just telling me that it's going to be almost like a rebuild for them, because right now Alabama's minus or they're 11 total season wins, and they're getting bet up all the way to minus 125 right now. Georgia's 10.5. They're getting bet up at 10. Auburn, 9, getting bet up. LSU getting bet down, 7.5. So it just tells me maybe next year we'll hit that 8 or 9 mark.
That's what's interesting. Jay Hargrave, pay attention, because this is what they have, right? I mean, it's very close to what Rafael says. Bama, 10.5. Auburn, 8.5. Georgia, 10.5. Mississippi State, 7.5. Texas A&M, 7.5. I mentioned pretty much most of the West. LSU, 6.5.
it's a tough, it's a tough side of the bracket. And then you throw in Miami. They got some tough, you pretty much get the two toughest teams out of the East in Georgia and Florida on your schedule. Plus you've got to go through the West. Plus you throw Miami in as the opener. It's a tough schedule. Rafael, do you think if Ed Orgeron wins seven games, do you think he's done in Baton Rouge?
Yes, I think he'll be done. Even though if some fans do like him and he's a local boy, and I still think it was a bad hire. But that's just my opinion. But yeah, I think if he doesn't get eight or nine wins, I think he's gone.
Rafael, do you think there's any chance the odds could change should LSU be able to land a quarterback like Joe Burrow, who in my opinion is basically what they already have there? But do you think the odds will change maybe slightly more in O's favor to kind of stick around?
Joe Burrow, the savior.
Yeah, maybe even win eight games this year. Do you think there's a chance that should the odds change if he signed, or is everything going to stay pretty much the same?
I think it'll stay pretty much the same. I think what I've talked to other books and other college football elites, they're telling me the same thing. He's not going to be the savior. He's not going to be a guy that's going to change things. Now that the quarterback's changing, we might see in Michigan, that could be a game changer. The guy from Mississippi, I can't think of his name.
Shea Patterson.
He could something that might change a half a win or a win. And it's also coming out of Big Ten where they have the lower entry lines of their schedules are pretty weaker than LSU. So that would change something. LSU, I just don't see. We might get some money coming in the over just because LSU is a really big bet team. A lot of people like to bet LSU. We might have to move it just because the fans move it, not because of talent.
Well, there you have it. And if you do a Twitter search, everyone's wondering, has anybody paid attention to Joe Burrow's Instagram? You know, I mean, Instagram's been the thing. So, Rafael, you know, if I unfollow you, it's nothing personal, man. You know, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, if you see me shooting free throws and I have Fox Sports behind me, it's nothing personal.
There you go. Thank you, bud. As always, appreciate it. VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow Rafael online.
Take it easy, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Rafael. A quick break. We come back. The triplets and also the quarterback index. We can discuss that a little bit. And, Brian, it's interesting you just said that. Kind of the same thing they got over there. I find it funny you go like the Tiger Droppings or any of these LSU message boards, and this guy is absolutely taking LSU to the final four teams in the playoff. He's never played. Like,
yeah,
he didn't play at Ohio State. And, you know,
here's one of the confusing things is the things I'm hearing about Miles Brennan is that he may be struggling handling the verbiage of Steve Ensminger's offense and struggling with the command in the huddle. Well, you're bringing in a new quarterback who hasn't even seen the verbiage
yet. Oh, he got plenty of time, though, right?
Yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah,
but here's the craziest thing.
Plenty of time.
If they sign Burrow, what do you think happens to Miles Brennan and Noah Cease?
I think they're gone. Yeah, I think they both go.
And I tell you what, if that happens and you lose both of them, Ed Orgeron is on the clock.
They peace out.
At that point.
Burrow's better work out.
Well, that's it. I mean, if I'm Oliva, dude, go ahead and tweet it. If this doesn't happen, we will be looking for a new record. Because now you're really thin.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. People in Cincinnati expected to already have had the answer by last weekend.
Right.
They haven't gotten it. Now they're getting concerned. They think he is going to LSU.
Right. Well, I tell you what, it'll be interesting. Quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss, as we said, the triplets in the quarterback index that I was talking about with the Saints having a pretty good quarterback situation, apparently. At least this is, again, just one person's opinion. We'll touch on that next. It's ESPN New Orleans. You're listening to the Sports Hangover.
Tom Savage.
Welcome back with 32 Royal Street. Now, you see, I'm trying to enjoy the Caesar salad during the break there, and Brian brings up something that's real interesting. There's a certain team that has absolutely made no bones about trying to get the Pels franchise player, which is not happening. They can tweet and they can put stories out all they want. Anthony Davis is not being traded to the Boston Celtics. However, like Screamin' A would like to say, Brian?
What about Boogie Cousins to the Boston Celtics? And I find it interesting that Derek James, who's a guy that covers the Minnesota Timberwolves for ESPN 1500, he kind of raised this. He heard Brian Windhorst speaking and said, I don't think Anthony Davis is going anywhere anytime soon. But Carl Anthony Towns is a different story. Now, this is Brian Windhorst on the Low Post with Zach Lowe, of course.
Uh-huh.
And the Celtics may be willing to part with Kyrie. Not a report, just an idea. But it's kind of interesting considering how hard the Celtics have chased Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins.
They want another big down there.
Pretty much every year.
Now, Al Horford's played really well, but I get what they're saying. All right, so just for, you know, what and giggles. Maybe a three-way trade? I mean, Minnesota, I can't see them parting ways with Karl Anthony Towns.
No.
I don't know where Brian's feeling and that can go that way because I got to imagine Tom. Now, look, he didn't look very good at all in the game to try to get to the playoffs and all that, and he didn't look good. I get that. But that was his first attempt and all that stuff. The guy played well during the season, and I would say he's pretty good. I mean, if you're banking on Andrew Wiggins and Butler as your guy, Butler's been injured. I don't see that happening. So it's interesting that he's throwing that out there. I wonder if that's maybe Towns' camp trying to see maybe he's not happy in Minnesota. Maybe. Towns isn't happy, you know, in that aspect of it. But I don't know where you would trade. If I'm Boston, who do I want? Do I want DeMarcus or do I want Karl Anthony Towns? And then what am I getting in return? Because now we're talking sign and trade.
Yes.
Because Boston, I don't think, can maybe do it financially.
No, they can't do it financially. But the sign and trade idea is really interesting considering.
Because the Pels wouldn't need Kyrie.
No,
right?
No. They wouldn't need
because
Kyrie.
They can't afford Kyrie.
They do have an interesting situation going on with
Boston.
But
could they? Because if they pay Boogie, then could you pay Kyrie and then you have him and Holiday, and is that really helping you?
No, and I don't think the Pels would want Kyrie in return. Don't get me wrong, I understand he's a superstar
player.
But Boston has not one, not two, but three players almost playing the exact same position. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Gordon Hayward.
You're
not bringing in Hayward.
Well, not bringing in Hayward. Browns looked very good. I would take him in a heartbeat, and I love Jason Tatum, who would be going into his second year.
Correct.
The question is, would Minnesota and Boston want to do a straight up trade? Towns for Kyrie Irving. Here's the one thing that went through my mind.
Well, the money has to match, and I don't think Towns makes as much.
Right.
So we have to.
There would have to be more, right. But the big part of that trade is Towns not getting along with Tom Thibodeau. And here's the thing: who are the top two teams in the West, and how are they structured? You put Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler together at the guard position. Now you match up against Golden State and Houston a little bit better.
If I'm the Pels too, here's the thing. I don't think Kyrie's in, or maybe they're going, look, I can't trust Kyrie with this knee right now.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't think the Pels would want Kyrie, simply from an injury standpoint. Not to mention that, but how does it look with not only one, but two teams that you used to play for, both make it to the Eastern Conference Finals without you?
Good point.
The biggest issue that this team has is the wing position.
Correct.
And that's what you're talking about.
Correct.
Tatum and Brown, I'm all on board immediately.
Exactly.
Again, I'm just so used to, obviously, always when players or these stories start coming out. Again, Brian Windhorst probably just ain't speaking out of, you know what.
We're out of thin air, correct.
Right. And it's just, it's kind of one of those things. Agents do this all the time, and they could just be there to see what kind of traction they get, right? But it's interesting a Minnesota writer is going, well, you know, Karl Anthony Towns might be able to. Stop it. He's the best player on that team.
Yeah, I don't think
that. Argue me it's Butler, but in when they played in this series, even though the Pels held him in one game, like, to 2 points and Minnesota still won, maybe that's an argument that you can do that. I still think Karl Anthony Towns is pretty good. I mean, there's people last year, and mind you, Anthony Davis this week was named a finalist for the MVP award. And
yes.
I can tell you specifically because at 4:30, 5 o'clock, you know, somewhere around there, I'm catching up on a round of Horde and PTI with the kid and catching up and seeing what are the storylines. I promise you on more than one occasion this season, the question of who are you starting your franchise with, Karl Anthony Towns or Anthony Davis, has come up. It's come up on the jump.
Yeah.
And Karl Anthony Towns wins all the time with NBA analysts. So I'm just saying that's surprising to me, but that really makes me start to think, I wonder if Karl Anthony Towns didn't like maybe some of the criticism in the playoffs. And maybe he's not getting along with Tom Thibodeau, who can be difficult to deal with. And if it's his agent trying to start to orchestrate his way out of there.
I thought Jimmy Butler did take over as the number one option on that team as the playoffs went on.
Yeah, because he was before they brought in Butler.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's how players deal with it. Marlon Favorite's going to chime in, 205-DINO-230. We'll have some more conversations in hour three. The Sports Hangover. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saints Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans.